Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Good. Before we get into the Word, we're going to have a few people share. This past week, we had a number of people at camp, and the Lord was working there, and so I think some people wanted to share just some testimonies about the Lord's work in their life. So if you'd like to share about your time at camp, I encourage you to come on up and do not delay, okay, because people usually wait. They don't want to be rude and go first. So I encourage you not to delay because time is of the essence. So who would like to go first? Lara Varway, give it up.
For those of you who don't know me, I'm Lara Varwig. I go to both here and Grace Community Church, and I've done quizzing with this church and done Change the Globe on Saturday nights. This year, I was blessed to be a counselor for the third year, and it was really, really awesome. What was the neatest thing that I really learned or realized?
I'm going to get out of your way.
Oh, cool.
Go over here.
Thanks, finally.
Cool.
We heard, counselors and staff heard that Liberty was doing a 24-hour prayer deal for camp, and I know we all really appreciate it because without that, God wouldn't have been able to do as many things as he did. Camp would have been really different. And then Sandy Sanders mentioned that we, the counselors and staff, should be meditating over Ephesians 6, 10 to 17, which basically tells about the battle that we have as Christians, not against the people or the campers or personalities, but against the rulers and powers of the spiritual forces of evil. And this week, I really came to the realization that not only God was fighting for the souls of my campers and of Allie's campers and Stoney's campers and Spencer's campers, but the devil was fighting for their souls too. And the campers didn't have to choose between God and not God. They chose between God and the devil. Because if you're not living for the Lord, you're living for the devil. And that really, really got to me and brought me to my knees several times because it really scared me that the devil was fighting the whole week for my campers' souls. And it really just brought me to the realization that we need to be praying constantly and constantly because we're fighting against what we don't see. Mm-hmm. And above us, there's angels and demons fighting for all of our souls and all of our friends' souls. And we need to be in a constant state of prayer for these souls because they're either living for God or they're living for the devil.
Yeah.
And that's what I learned this
it's
week.
Good. It's awesome. Thank you. Good. Spiritual battle is real. Amen. Yes. Come forward. This is Stephanie. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good.
I'm really nervous in front of people. Can you sit down? Is that cool? Gosh, camp was just really, really amazing. I definitely needed it. I was in a very difficult place. For a period of time, some things happened in my life, and, you know, I didn't give God my whole heart. You know, and God just longs, and he's captivated, and he just wants us to love him and give us our whole heart. And I gave my heart away. And when some things were taken out of my life, I realized that, you know, I wasn't where I used to be. And I used to be so satisfied with just God's love alone. And I felt like I was trying so hard to fill this void in my life with other things. And, you know, everyone has this void that we have. You know, we try to fill it with people. We try to fill it with substances. We try to fill it with just anything you can ever imagine. We just try to fill this void, and nothing comes close to filling it. And so this week was really cool. I got to be an LIT, and it was definitely a trial on my patience and just my physical being. But God definitely used it. And the first night, you know, I was really, really broken, and we were just singing and worshiping, and I just got down, and I just, you know, weeped at Jesus' feet. You know, I just weeping at his feet and laying everything down. And God came in and he took out my broken heart and he gave me a new healed heart. And it's really, really awesome. And so the next time we were worshiping, I was just praying for everyone else there that God would just change people's lives and open up their hearts. And it was very cool. And just seeing, like, the younger kids come over and lay hands on other little kids and cry and pray. No, that just, I just couldn't stop crying because that was amazing. That is so cool. And, you know, God gave me this realization that, you know, how we try so hard to, like, fill these voids in our life with everything else. And we try so hard, and we just search for all these things that mean nothing. And, you know, when I think about it, everything I've ever experienced my whole life, everything, does not compare to 1 second of being in God's presence, amen, just one moment with the Lord. And that's just a glimpse of who God is. That's just a piece. That's just a little tiny glimpse of his face. And nothing compares. And we try to fill this void, but we can't fill it. It just leaves us more empty. And God is just standing there saying, wake up. I'm right here. And he doesn't move. We move and we try to fill it. But God is the only thing that fills. And he's satisfied. And he pours it over. And that love comes out. And we can pour it on everyone else. And it doesn't even compare. And it's like, why do we waste our time on these things, you know, when we think that's satisfied, but they don't. They just leave us more empty. And that is the only thing. And it's just amazing to just have that realization and see that this God is just so captivated by our heart, even though we're just this horrible, icky person. And he loves us anyway. And he just wants to be loved back by us. Amen. It was just a very awesome experience. I mean, a lot of people got delivered. A friend of mine got healed of something she'd been struggling with for 11 years of her life. And it was just awesome. So I just wanted to encourage you guys.
Awesome. Thank you. It's good. Yes, I see. It's Sarah Wilson. You know, when Sarah Wilson wants to talk, it's important.
Okay, so camp was really awesome. I've been going to camp, like, every year since I was, like, 12 or 13. But this year was my first year being a counselor, and that was really, really awesome. God showed me, like, a lot of things. Like, he taught me a lot personally. But then, like, a huge thing that he showed me was just, like, the power of prayer. And I really want to thank everyone who, like, was praying for camp over the last week, because it made a huge, huge difference. And it was, like, everything that we, like, prayed for this week, like, happened. It was just awesome. And I don't know. There's a couple kids who are, like, kind of the troublemakers of the camp. And, like, during the messages and stuff, they would sit together and kind of just talk the whole time. And they seemed kind of distracted, you know, with each other. And so all week we were really praying for these kids, and they were just, like, totally different by the end of the week, and it was super awesome. And on Friday night, which was the last night, they started worship, and Hannah Vaughn grabbed me and a bunch of the other counselors, and we just started praying for all the kids there and just praying for the night. And we were praying for, like, those trouble kids, you know, like, and any kids who, like, hadn't gotten, like, very much out of camp, that they would really get it that night. And we were praying for, like, specific kids. Like, we were praying for one of my campers. And as soon as we got done praying, like, I look over, and that camper that we were praying for is, like, sitting on the ground crying. And, like, we got to go over and, like, pray over her, and it was so cool. And so then, like, after that happened, like, I was like, wow, that was super awesome. And I'm just sitting there praying. And then Laura Varwe comes up to me, and she's like, guys, or she grabs a couple other people too, and she's like, guys, the enemy is here, and, like, Emily Wall, like, is having an asthma attack right now, and I can just feel that the enemy's here, and he's, like, trying to keep God from working in these kids' lives. And so we just started praying. Like, we had this really intense prayer time, and we were just, like, rebuking the enemy and praying for Emily and praying for the rest of the kids. And I think we were, like, praying for one camper specifically, because she was, like, the only one who we really hadn't seen God do much in. And, like, the day before we asked her, we were like, so what has God been teaching you? And she's like, nothing. So we were, like, really praying for her, and it was really intense. And so we got done praying, and, like, I just, like, sat there for a minute, was, like, praying a little bit more, and then I, like, opened my eyes, and I look over, and that camper is, like, laying on the ground just crying, and, like, all these people go over, and we're all, like, praying over her, and it was, like, the coolest thing, like, I've ever seen. And then, like, I look over again, and, like, Emily Wall's back down there, like, praising the Lord, and I was just like, oh my gosh, like, it was just so awesome. And, like, God answered so many prayers, and, like, he brought a ton of kids to Christ. Like, oh my gosh, it was just so cool. And I just want to encourage you guys, like, never underestimate the power of prayer, because Amen. God did so much and it made a huge, huge difference.
Amen. Like, here's Annie, like Graham, Annie, like.
Camp was like awesome. For real though, it seems I was a counselor for the second time this year, and it seems that before we go to camp, man, now I'm like self-conscious about using that word. People are stressing, or maybe it's just in my mind, that you need to go in, especially if you're on staff or a counselor, like suited up and ready to go, because trials are going to come and the enemy, like Laura was saying, is like fighting for these kids' souls. And this past year, since camp last time, and especially since the summer started, has been kind of hard for me. And I kind of went to camp with like very battered armor. And I was just like, I can't do any more of that. You know, I can't take any more beatings right now, you know. And it was amazing because the whole week I was just hoping for, like, encouragement. And I was, like, every day, like, every second, I was being encouraged by whether it was a camper doing something or someone saying something or seeing someone do something or God, like, worship and everything. And I was overwhelmed with encouragement. It was crazy. And it was like God took care of me. I said it again. He took care of me, even though my armor was very broken. And it was just a really amazing week. Every corner I turned it was just amazing. Again, like, I was in that group with Sarah praying for Emily. And, like, I look up, and Emily's there, sitting there. And I think it was Faith Notes who, like, looked over, and she was like, I keep saying it, wow. And she's like, she says, Emily Wall's over there. And I just, like, started laughing. And the other really awesome thing was that God really convicted me, especially halfway through the week, that there was a lot of stuff that I knew in my head, but I didn't really know God. There was a lot. I keep waiting for God to tell me, like, what my calling is, or bring people into my life or things and ask for things, and I'm not actually really seeking him, not like I should be. And on the last night, I was just crying over this, and Faith came over and was just praying with me, and she's like, just ask God to reveal himself to you. And I was just like, I want to know God. And that whole week, it was like every scripture I read was grow in the knowledge of God, know God, the love of God and everything. And so a faith left, and I just prayed, and I just asked God to, like, reveal himself, and he came through on that. And I'm kind of tired of being very surfacey still. I really want to know him, like, Amen. Truly, truly know Amen. Him. Amen. So that was the biggest milestone in what happened with me at camp.
That's awesome. Awesome. Like, that was good.
Okay, those were the two best counselors ever. I got, like, awesome Annie. So we're like, yeah, rocking up the whole week. And him. Well, this week I was kind of like, I went to the camp, like, having the mentality, like, I want God to do a lot of things with me because I feel like my life is kind of, like, crap now. But I kind of realized that I was there to, like, watch everybody and see what other people, you know, like, God was pouring into people, and it was awesome just to, like, at worship and looking over and at, you know, the troublemakers are just, like, totally, you know, like, turn their back on the enemy. And it's just like, oh my goodness, like, that first day, that person was so, you know, like, there was this new look in their eyes, and I got to watch all these miracles happen. And I kind of, like, realized that I'm worrying my life away, and God's driving the car, and I need to be in the back seat relaxing because I know it's all under control, not fighting for the wheel. Because my whole life, I felt like I was more like fighting for the wheel. And God's really shown me that I just need to stop worrying. And I need to just let go. And I just need to have, like, this unbelievable joy And I struggle with that. I struggle with having joy. And this week, he gave me so much joy. I'm just like, I can't stop smiling. I really can't. Compared to last year was a really hard year for me. I came in there, you know, I came in with a mad face, you know, a little sourpuss kid. You know, mad at everybody for everything, you know, like, one person in particular was on my team the year before, and I just, like, I couldn't stand this person. They were, like, bugged everything about me, and, I know, I'm not going to say their name, but, I need to be serious here, so we can laugh. So I knew this person was on my team again this year for a reason. I was like, patience, come on. But this whole week, this person was just like, you know, getting on my nerves. And I was just like, okay, please bite the tongue, bite the tongue. I just need to keep smiling, you know, bite the tongue. But definitely at the end of the week, I like fell in love with this person. I'm just like, okay, this is my sister in Christ, and I love her because I know you love her, and I need to love her. And I, the whole week, you know, I was just like, I need to love her. And at the end of the week, I loved her.
Amen.
And I... And there's just one other person. This person was my friend, and the year before last, he really encouraged me a lot in certain areas. And this week, he gave his life to the Lord, even though I know year before last, he claimed to be a Christian, but I definitely saw a change in him. So it's more like, yes, you know, I was so excited for him because he's an awesome person. And just to see that he totally just was following the Lord. Lord, now it's awesome.
Wow.
And the whole thing with worship, sometimes I have a hard time worshiping God, sort of like, you know, like who's looking around, you know, that kind of thing. Everyone struggles with that. And this week I kind of was sort of like, no, people are dying to worship God, and why am I ashamed to lift my hands and worship God? People are dying, getting suffered in other countries, and we are here and we're free.
Amen.
We're free to come to church, and we, amen, like, complain. We're just like, oh, I don't want to go to church today. You know? It's sort of like, I'm tired. I want to sleep. No. No, people are, like, dying. I know I'm saying this a lot, but it's true. I mean, I didn't ever have, you know, a second thought about that. You know, it's church. But, and with the whole thing on worship, last thing I'm going to say is, I knew things were going to be spectacular this year, because the first day the rally started, and it was like Friday night the last year. Things started up as, you know, Friday. Everyone's like, you know, pumped for Jesus, you know, and they're just all like, oh, yes, you know. But that was on Monday night, and that usually takes a week for that to happen. And on Monday night, boom, was like a Friday night, and then Friday night was like, I don't even know what it was. It was just amazing. I was just like, am I really seeing this? This is, whoa. So by far this year at camp was probably the most, you know, life-changing for me. And it was just awesome just to see everybody. You know, once I have a new look on everybody who I see when I walk through the door. I'm just sort of like, that's God's child. You know,
amen.
You're God's child. You know? And I'm just so excited. And I just can't stop smiling.
You want to share?
Yes.
You sure?
Yeah.
You have a big smile, too.
All right, just in case you're all wondering, since I'm a twin, I'm Benjamin. All right, this is going to be really fast, but all I'm going to say is that camp was really amazing. I saw God moving in my life and in other people's lives, and, you know, I was just so excited about that, and Friday night was a great night. When it came to Friday night, you know, I just felt God moving in everybody. I got to pray with a couple of people, and a couple of people came to Christ, and that was just really exciting.
Amen. Awesome. That's how you share, dude. You just get it done. We all know this guy, right?
He's All right, I'm going to try to get this done, but I'm my father's son, so bear with me here, people.
Okay, well, in that case, I'm going to go take a break. Well, Ethan has taken over.
My dad has already heard this story,
get a
so
drink
he
of water.
Can go drink yeah. Diet Coke or something.
Yeah.
Okay, this year I was in LIT, which means a leader in training, and it was just an amazing week of camp, as you can tell. Like, everybody is sharing some awesome stories. And I just got to see God move so much. I saw, like, younger kids step up to the plate throughout the week, you know, and really pray over kids their own age and, like, serve God. Like, this camp compared to last camp, it was, like, a huge difference. It was amazing. And I think the theme of this camp was wake up. And I think what God wanted me to wake up to was trusting in him. And that was kind of verified yesterday when I had my quiet time. So during camp, we had Bible quizzing. And we memorized 1 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, Mark 1, and Hebrews 1. And I chose to memorize 1 Peter chapter 1. And God really spoke to me through that. And there is a passage in 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold trials, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." So I felt like during the first part of the week, I was really going through some trials, and the one verse that spoke to me was verse 5, and it says, "Who through faith are kept by the power of God." And in the NIV, it says, "are shielded by God's power." And I think that's really what spoke to me, is like God was shielding me by his power throughout the whole week. And I just needed to trust him, trust him, trust him, trust him. And then Friday night came. It was kind of weird, at least for me. I know God was obviously working in a lot of other people's lives. But what I felt Friday night must have been like the undercurrent of the spiritual warfare, because I felt doubts creeping into my heart about my own salvation. And I was like, what's this all about? And I talked to Peter Kintz, and then I talked with Dan Benson for a really long time. And it was just, it was awesome, because he really spoke into my life about how I need to trust in God and not go off of my experience, but go off what I know is true, which is that there is an empty cross. And that empty cross was for me. So, and then Saturday came, and I got home. I took a shower, which was amazing. And then... And then I had my quiet time, and it was like God just confirmed everything throughout the week for me. And so I'm going to read another passage out of Scripture. It's in Psalms. All right, I'm going to read you two Psalms. I don't care if it's long. Okay, Psalm 84. It says, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they who dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee." Okay, all you campers, you're going to be still praising God this week, not just last week.
Amen.
"Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed." There's that word shield again. Mm-hmm. "For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusteth in thee." So that's how that psalm ended. And I was like, wow, God, I was like, you really are a shield, and I really can trust in you, even through the trials. And then I read Psalm 85, and I guess I won't read it because it's kind of long. But basically, just let me read this verse. thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people, thou hast covered all their sin. And then I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints.
That's good.
So God really spoke peace into my soul through those two psalms, and I was like, I can trust in his salvation, and I can trust in him through all the trials, because he is my shield.
Amen. I was a little nervous when I saw him walk up with notes, Like, oh, we got a sermon. Oh, here's the notes. That's a different kind of notes.
It'll be brief. I just wanted to put a shout out to all the staff and counselors that we had that week, because this is a team that was bonded. I mean, there was so much teamwork that went on, and people were willing to do absolutely anything for these campers and for the week and for what God's will was for them. And I was impressed beyond everything. When Ravonda left, there was a void there, and Justice is like, do you want to be office administrator? And I was like,
no. Ah,
what? What does that mean? He's like, oh, you'll like it. Okay. Well, it was crazy. But we had everybody in line and in God's place where he wanted them to be. And every void was filled, and everybody was able to jump in and do the work. And you could tell. And we didn't have one camper give any kind of negative word towards any of the counselors. And in years past, that happens, Some counselors don't work out. Some campers don't like them. But we didn't have one complaint this year. And it was amazing. They really, really, it was incredible. This is the team that you guys are going to be leaving the church to. So if everyone could stand up, that was a counselor, a staff. Everybody.
Everybody.
Those are your leaders.
Awesome. Thank you. That's one thing I did hear. I heard that the counselors were just exceptional this year. The best ever. Peter Kent, come on up.
Hi. Yeah. I was talking to Ethan last night. Like, I kind of wanted to share today. He's like, well, why don't you? I'm like, I don't really have a good reason, so I'm here. This is my first year going to camp. It was amazing, to say the least. I had one advantage, and God was really speaking to me before I actually even got to camp. Really convicted me of a lot of stuff I needed to change in my life, and I've been going to a Bible study that Justice Whitty and Ethan, are kind of doing. And I remember telling him the last Bible study I actually got there. I'm like, I don't really know what's going to happen, but I really expect something good's going to happen at camp. I don't know why, but I think God's really going to speak to me. I'm really hoping, he moves me. And that day, we got to camp and found out Mr. Benson was my counselor. Absolutely love you, Mr. Benson. Mr. Ward really kind of like, he really got to hit me in the head with like a 2x4 to get my attention and to get me to change. And Mr. Ward really just, he was hammering into us. You really got to wake up. You got to change the things in your life. You got to get stuff in your life that is wrong. You got to make a choice between God or yourself. You really just got to break down the walls. And I'm in there that night during the worship and everything. After Tim's sermon, God really spoke to me. He convicted me of a lot of things I had in my life: that bitterness, anger, a lot of rebellion, a lot of wanting to get revenge, and a lot of lukewarmness in my walk with God. I know the profile of the lukewarm and the chapters of crazy love. I was reading it actually that day, and every single time I read an example of a lukewarm Christian, it was like, crap, that's me. Crap, that's me. And I've always been one of those kind of people. No offense to anyone who's cried, but every single time I see a guy cry, I'm always like, no, please don't. And I got up there, and like God really was convicting me. It's like when I said God spoke to me, it wasn't like I heard words. It was like a peace. It was a peace. I actually knew God loved me, because I've always been suffering with an insecurity problem with my relationship with God. And I started to cry like a baby. I was so embarrassed. I was
ha ha.
Ha ha. So I started to cry, and I was trying to hide it. You know, you do that move where you're kind of down, you put your head down. Hair kind of came down as blinders, but Mr. Benson came up and he started to pray with me, and he gave me the biggest hug I've ever gotten. Yes. He's like, real men cry, which helped, because I was incredibly embarrassed at the fact that I was even crying, but we went off and talked, and Mr. Benson really just, he talked to me, told me, like, you know, you've got to forgive, you've got to really choose, you've got to, like, stop letting that stuff hold you down, and you got to actually forgive and get the crap out of your life, and you know, really decide to follow God. And it is to say, I mean, I redevoted and rededicated my life that night to God.
Thank you, God.
And I was really happy that it happened on Monday night, like, Friday night, because I had a whole week to be with everybody who really, like, everybody, I mean, like, Joseph Fister, Ethan, Joel, and Lance, a ton of people just, you know, totally invested in my life, and, it was a weird kind of a joy and peace, and I remember telling, sorry I'm going long, but I remember telling people, like Mr. Benson and Tim, I was scared to go back out into the world. It felt like we were in this weird cocoon there, and it felt like as soon as you left the ranch, you were going to, like, totally get attacked, which kind of happened to me on Tuesday when I left to go hang out with people for my birthday. It was like I left, and all of a sudden this weird, like, oppression came, stuff I hadn't, like, temptations and anger and stuff that I never thought about the day before, like, just pressed down on me, and I mean, I was telling people throughout the week, I mean, you know, I'm scared, I don't want to go back out, I'd like to stay. I mean, they eventually had to kick me out. they eventually said, like, you guys gotta leave, and I'm like, crap. So, but I know something's different this time. I know I'm not, like I told Mr. Benson, I'm not going back to where I was.
Amen. Amen.
So despite the fact that I went here forever and I never talked up here, it's really all of a sudden comfortable being amongst you guys because you guys feel close. But I felt like God really told me that I need to let you guys know what happened to me personally at camp.
So. Good. Amen. Good. Here comes Ali. Ali McCartney. Come on. Right there in the middle. Right. Perfect. And a perfect picture.
It was funny when Annie shared about showing up and just being really exhausted and feeling really broken down because I was kind of in the same place. The week before camp was just really spiritually and emotionally draining. I got to camp and was like, I made it. Okay. And I just felt really unprepared. And I was just really frustrated with myself because I was like, I didn't want to mess up anything for my campers. I didn't want to be distracted or just... I just wanted to give everything I had to those kids for that week, and I was just so concerned that for some reason that I wouldn't be able to do that. And so when I realized just how unprepared I was and how exhausted I was, instead of just resting and taking a minute and, you know, allowing the Lord to minister to me, I just kept working. And it just built on itself, and I was like, I have to keep going and going and going and going for these kids. And about Wednesday morning, I hit a brick wall, and I was like, I can't do this. I wanted to fall in a pile on the floor and go home. I was so tired and just so spiritually and emotionally exhausted. And God just really spoke to me, and he said, you are being a Martha. You are being busy and just trying to get everything ready, and you need to be a Mary and just sit at my feet and stop worrying about these kids. I'm going to work in their lives whether or not you are on top of your game. And so the whole rest of the week, God just gave me peace, and he did so much work in my campers' lives and my lives and just in so many other lives at the camp, and it had nothing to do with whether or not, you know, I had everything figured out or I was doing okay. He just let me sit at his feet and just not worry, and he did so much, and all I had to do was just sit there and wait for it. So, yeah. That's good.
You're not going to say a bad word, are you?
All right, good morning, everybody. You can probably tell that I just woke up. I slept for like a little over 14 hours last night, and it was just glorious. But, okay, so I'm going to talk about two things God taught me at camp. One, he really taught me that, well, I kind of knew this, but that I'm just a huge control freak. And God was like, listen, I have a plan, and, you know, my plan is what's important, so you need to just let go and let me take control of everything. And so that was something that was kind of hard to do, you know, but, like, because I would just, I don't know, in everything, I had my hand in at camp. I was kind of like, we need to do this, to do that, to do this, to do that. And then finally I was just like, you know, I just need to let go and, like, trust this or that person to do this or that. And when I did that, and just step back, the people did amazing jobs at what they were supposed to do, and it took a lot of stress off me. So that was one thing that I learned. Another thing that I learned was that we, you know, we were talking about being awakened at camp all week. That was the main message, is we were trying to awaken the campers to their calling in life, you know, and just to rise from their slumber. And so God taught me, like, the way to do that is through this, you know. And a couple weeks before camp, my mom was talking to me, and she was like, she's like, you know, how much are you spending time in the Word and stuff? And I was like, you know, some, and really, like, I wasn't that much. And so that was one thing I was convicted of during camp, is that I need to be spending more time in the Word. So that was something I really learned. Those are basically the two things that I learned at camp. One thing I really wanted to say is this year camp was different because it went so smooth. There weren't, like, any huge problems. There were no fights between counselors or staff or anything like that. Like, it seriously went so smooth. And the only reason, like, you know, if there's 20 staffers and counselors and then, like, 60-something kids involved in a camp, you cannot have a camp run smooth when all those people are getting 5 hours of sleep a night unless God's hand is in it. And I know that is because of all of you guys who are here praying for that 24-hour prayer thing. And it was just clear to us that, you know, God's hand was really in it. And so I wanted to just thank all of you for participating in that and just for sacrificing all of your time. That was just a huge, huge blessing to us. And then just on behalf of, like, Justice and me and Tim and Kim and the rest of the staff, we just wanted to thank the counselors this year because you guys were amazing, so amazing. Like, it was just incredible. Like, the first morning I looked out and I saw Stoney sitting there, and he had 10 guys in his group. And I was like, oh, my goodness, Stoney's crazy. How is he going to counsel 10 guys? But Stoney did an amazing job. Like, he just, it floored me, the work that he did. So, yeah, it was just amazing just to see what everyone did this year. So we really, really appreciated it. So,
amen.
That's it.
That's good. Good. There's another note.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Do you leave your shoes at camp?
Oh, my goodness. No. Well, from all the counselors, we want to tell the staff thank you for encouraging us, you guys. It really meant a lot to us, like, when you would come up and just say, hey, how are you? How are your campers? It really encouraged me this year because this is my first year. Sorry, my voice is kind of gone. But it really encouraged me this year because I was actually counseling this year, and I remember coming up to Justice about a month ago. I was like, hey, you know, I'm really pumped for camp. I can't wait to go. And he's like, yeah, you want to be a counselor? I'm like, no. Are you kidding me? No. I'm only 17. I've still got another year. I don't think I'm ready. And he's like, yeah, you are. And I'm like, no, I'm not. But, you know, God just, he just really worked on me and just really said, hey, you know, like many of the people here said, just trust and put it all in God's hands. Well, that week as I went, you know, God's peace just really was like, hey, it's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. Your campers are going to be awesome. I did have challenges with them, but it was totally cool. I saw a number of our junior hires come that had been problems in the on Tuesday nights, like many of them had said, and I was like, oh, Lord. Oh, what are we going to do? And God, on, I can't remember which night it was, Wednesday or Tuesday, God kind of sat me down and was like, hey, Faith, listen. I had just got done talking with Hannah, and I felt like twice that day I had really screwed up, and I just was beating myself, and Hannah was like, Faith, God's love does not change. Whether, you know, you're doing God's work or whether you fall or no matter what, you know, God's love does not change toward you. And Hannah, I'm sorry, at first I didn't take your words. I'm sorry. But they kept coming in. I love you too. But they kept coming to my mind. And that night, God put me on the ground and said, Faith, I love you the same no matter what. And he took it to the next step. And he said, I love you the same as I love those kids that you think cannot be changed. And it really broke my heart. And for the rest of that week, I didn't look at those campers the same. I looked at those campers as my brothers and sisters that just needed help. And it was super eye-opening, and I was just like, wow, you know, I love that boy, even though he was a pain, even though, you know, he didn't really listen. You know, my heart was just open up to them, and to see them progress throughout the week, one of the girls in my group gave her life to Christ. Amen. And I remember the moment I heard that, I just bawled. I couldn't even, like, look around. I just put my head down and started crying because that's what we were praying for, and I was like, Lord, you answered. And she was smiling for the rest of that week. It was so cool because she didn't smile at all. And to see her just brighten up and with her friend, it really touched me. And just to see how God, you know, loves all of us the same. Amen. Just it encouraged me. And just, I don't know, I felt like that burden was just like, whoop, whoop, just gone. So I could say, you know, tons more, but I think that's all that I'm supposed to say for right now. Love you guys. Love you all.
Spencer, Amy, come up here. We'll let Spencer go first.
No, ladies first.
Lady, you want to do ladies first? Okay. We'll do ladies first.
This week, God really taught me a lot. I kind of lost my voice from all the yelling at camp. Monday and Tuesday were really good, and then by Wednesday, like Allie said, I was counseling with Allie. We were co-counselors. She was just emotionally drained, and she was just really discouraged, and I got to pray with her and encourage her. And then Wednesday night, the tables turned. I was the one. I was, like, completely discouraged, and I was just like, God, why am I even here? Like, I was just really discouraged after, like, a bunch of different stuff happened. So Wednesday night, I was really discouraged, and I just had a few people pray for me and encourage me. And throughout the week, there was this group of 7 kids, and they were really distracted all week, and they were distracting to others, and I was like, oh my gosh, these kids are driving me crazy. And I was praying for them every day, and I was kind of like, yeah, nothing's really going to happen with these kids, you know. I'm going to pray for them anyways, but I didn't really trust that God was going to do anything in their lives. And then we get to Thursday night, and every night when the speaker would speak, I would go and sit by these kids to make sure they weren't goofing off and, like, laughing and distracting everyone. So I sat right behind them, and they were sitting there, you know, being their normal selves, kind of goofing off. And then all of a sudden, 2 of the girls get up and leave, and I was like, okay. But then I saw them up on the hill with their counselor, and they were talking and praying and stuff, and I was like, oh, cool. And then one of the other boys, he, like, falls asleep. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And I was like, I turned to my friend Sierra. I was like, should I throw something at him? And she's like, no, I think he's praying. And I was like, what? So I was like, okay, I'll just let him pray or sleep or whatever in case he's praying. So then the kids right in front of me, who are distracting, they start talking. And I was like, hey, be quiet. And then they're like, no, Amy, you don't understand. They're like, that kid, he's crying. He's crying. We need to find Stoney. We need to find Stoney. And then, so I was like, oh, my gosh. And I jump out of my chair. And I, like, run around the whole area looking for Stoney. And I can't find him anywhere. So I run over to Justice and Scott. And I'm like, have you guys seen Stoney? One of his kids is crying. And we need Stoney. And they're like, oh, no. So they're like, go get Corey. And we'll look for Stoney. So I run over to one of the other counselors, Corey. And I was like, Corey, one of my boys is crying. And, I can't find Stoney. I need you to go pray with him. And Corey's like, okay. And Corey's like on it. And he goes over there, grabs the kid. They walk up on the hill and they're praying. And I was like, oh, yeah. I was so excited for him. And then Corey like leaves the kid there. And the kid's just praying on his own. And then Stoney comes out of nowhere and starts praying with the kid too. And I was like, oh, yay. And I was so happy. And then there's another kid sitting in the distracting row. And he starts crying. And I was like, the kids in front of me, they're like, we need to find Stoney. We need to find Stoney. I was like, oh, no. So I jump out of my chair, and I'm like, Stoney's praying with someone else. What do? I run over to Corey. I'm like, Corey, I have another one for you. So Corey goes over and takes him up, and they pray. And out of the seven kids, two of them were, like, really convicted and were, like, crying, and they had tons of people praying for him. And then one of the kids rededicated his life to Christ, and then three of them accepted Christ as their Savior this week. So I just really learned to trust in God and know that he has a plan and that even if I can't see him moving, he's working. So amen. That's all.
Amen.
Okay, my experience was, I would say, a little bit different than most of the other kids and the counselors, because I was going through a desert, and I really related that to some scripture God had showed me about a year ago, and I completely forgot about it. And you can read it in James 4:8. It says, draw near to him, and he'll draw near to you. I had been experiencing some desert time in my life because I stopped seeking the Lord with my whole heart. And it was really, really struggling. It affected a lot of other areas of my life, and it was turning out really, really bad because the reason I had stopped seeking him was because I had piled up all this stuff on my plate, and I was working, I was going to school, and I was trying to carry a relationship, and that's a lot of stuff to do. So I stopped getting my devos as much. I stopped praying as much, and my life just started. It was like the slope started going like this. And I could see it happening, but I wasn't taking the right action to prevent it. So I get to this point, and I finally just get a wake-up call, which is funny because our camp theme is wake up the Friday before we go to camp. A big, big wake-up call where God just slapped me in the face. And the only appropriate response was to put my face in the dirt and humble myself before the Lord, because that some of us don't do that. How many of us has put our face just completely to the ground and just humble ourselves and worship God because we are not worthy? And that was something that he had to wake me up to before I could realize, you're so merciful, you're so loving, because I almost lost an extreme gift that God had given me. And it was, I want to say heartbreaking, but there's a better word for it, but I can't think of it. So going to camp, I was in this spiritual desert, and we're talking about reading Ephesians 5 and 6 and some other verses. So I read through it, but it's not really speaking to me. So I go back to James 4:8, and it says, draw near to him, and he'll draw near to you. Well, I have footnotes in my Bible that take you back to another reference in the Bible, and it's 2 Chronicles 15:2, and he's talking to King Asa. I forget which prophet it is. I don't know the name of the prophet, but he basically says, the Lord is with you while you're with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. And I started forsaking the Lord about 2 months ago when I was piling all stuff on my plate, and that went down like this. And then God showed me his love and his mercy by continuing to give me that gift that he had given me. And so I go back to this at camp, and I just want to encourage you guys, seek the Lord. And that's what I need to be doing in my life, and continue seeking him with my full heart. Otherwise, if I forsake him, I think this applies to all of us. He spoke this to me personally about a year ago, and I completely forgot about it. But to seek him with all your heart so that you can find him. But don't forsake him, because he doesn't want to forsake you, but you have to draw near to him. Well, that's it.
Good.
Camp was awesome.
Well, oh, wow, it's loud. Sorry. The first thing I want to do is definitely thank the staff, because they were seriously amazing. I've never seen it this good. Second of all, Mike Cassandra's just way too creative when it comes to Sitting Bull. He took way too many years getting hit by older kids. I mean, it was just, at the end of the week, I was standing so in back so nobody could hit me with a Sitting Bull. And I was like, I ain't getting it this year, because he's just taken way too many hits as a younger kid. And God bless you, man, because you did awesome. Man, those kids, they went through a lot. I'll keep this short and sweet. First thing I want to say is just God did a lot of things in a lot of people's hearts, and I saw that. And I want to be honest with all you, I came to camp, and my heart wasn't right. I didn't want to be there. I started to love my work. I just got this job being a lifeguard, and I love it because I love protecting lives. But, you know, I was falling. I was going down the wrong road, and I did not want to be at camp, and I did not. But just every day, God softened my heart, and I just was looking around, and I practiced a lot of patience. In my life, I just get so used to people pouring into me, my dad, my mom, and it was so different, like pouring into others, and it was just a different experience. And the theme verse was, wake up, Christ will shine on you. It was wake up, oh sleeper, and rise from the dead. And I was a sleeper, and I've risen again. And just the most thing that was laid in my heart was, I'll just say, just every day as being a lifeguard, I just have to deal with that so much, just with the women and the cussing and just the way the world thinks. And I just became sympathetic to it. And I'm not no longer, because we should not compromise.
Amen.
Yes, this man right there, Mr. Benson, on Wednesday, I'm pretty sure it was Wednesday, he was just phenomenal. Thank you so much for speaking in my life. By the way, I really didn't like you in the mornings. It's time to wake up, guys. I mean, I was just like, this guy needs to shut up and go back to the Army. This is a summer camp. Come on, man. Beyond that, he did a great job. I loved it. But he spoke on Wednesday, and we made all the girls leave and go down to a separate place. And all the guys talked, and he was just, guys, the main thing he said, and the last thing I'll say, he said, you know what? You need to say no. You need to say no and not think about it and not think about what these people are doing and keep your eyes on the Lord. And you know what? The thing I got most of all was this. Keep your head up and don't fall away from the Lord, because it's so easy. And a few weeks ago, I was working and my mom was praying for me so much, and it convicted my heart. There was a song, it's called Slow Fade. Wow. I don't mean to cry, I almost cry. But real men do cry, that's for sure. Yeah. And one of the best things that ever happened in my life, I was at work, and I was just slowly becoming like, you know what, this is just how the world thinks. I was becoming sympathetic. I was just starting to lust and stuff. And this little voice in my ear was singing, be careful, little eyes, what you see. And the Lord is looking down, so be careful. And I was just like, thank you, Jesus. And just, he did an awesome work at camp. And just thank you so much, Justice and Tim and Micah Sanders. And just, you guys did great. And just thank you for everything.
Awesome. I don't know what the Sitting Bull is. I'm not even going to ask.
No. I can tell you what the Sitting Bull is.
No, don't.
I would love to tell you guys what the Sitting Bull is. The Sitting Bull is this is this sneaky little thing that we do at camp, okay? And the Sitting Bull is like, this year was a clothespin. So you have like almost 100 people at a camp, and you give the Sitting Bull to somebody in the morning, and it goes around, and you have to sneak it on somebody's clothes or on their purse or on their backpack or on something,
on something that they you know, have on their person. And at the end, then we go to our rally, which is our evening meetings, and Micah Sanders, evil Micah Sanders, has some terrible plan that he wants to do to somebody who has a sitting bull, okay? And so here's... So I got it this week, okay? I've been at camp for 10 years, 10 years of camp, and I've never gotten it because I'm too smart to get the sitting bull. Like, I check, I make sure that there's no clothespin on me, that there's no little popsicle stick in my pocket. I make sure that I'm not going to get the sitting bull. Well, Tuesday night, apparently there was this plan concocted, and apparently everyone was aware of this besides me. And Corey Herwick, some of you know Corey, some of you don't. He calls me and he calls me over and he's like, Hannah, I really got to talk to you about something. And he's acting really serious. And so I, being a good friend, am listening to him, all right? And as I'm listening to him, he just kind of puts his arm like around me and he just sticks a little clothespin on my clothes. And I didn't even notice because I'm just like trying to be sympathetic and be a good friend. And literally, we're in the middle of this conversation and Micah's like, check yourselves for the sitting bull. And I'm like, oh, no. I was just like, oh my gosh, because you don't understand. Like, you don't understand what happens, okay? So here's what happened to me. So I walk up there, and I'm just like, okay, I just need to take this like a man. I'm just gonna do this. I'm just gonna handle it. And like, I'm just gonna take it. So Micah's like, sit down, Hannah. So I sit down in this chair, and Micah pulls out like 3 bottles of maple syrup. Yeah, okay, here's the thing. My hair was in like little braids. Like all of my hair was in completely all in little braids. Yeah, right, thanks. So I'm talking so much maple syrup on my body. I can't even, I don't even really want to go into it. But I mean, there's just so much maple syrup. And then they dumped flour all over me. So it was kind of like being tarred and feathered, except it was like syruped and floured. I don't know. It was really, really bad. And then I'd wash my hair like 7 times. And anyways, so that's what the sitting bull is, Dad. So you know now. I know that church is supposed to be over, but I don't know about you guys, but I love hearing what God is doing in people's lives, and I love seeing him work, because I think so many times we get so discouraged, and we get so in our own box, and we're just like, oh, this is all that's going on. This is all that God is doing, and we shorten his arm. You know, in the Old Testament, the prophets are always yelling at the kings and yelling at the people, being like, you guys don't realize how powerful God is. You don't realize how powerful God is and that his arm is not shortened. You know, God is still working and God is still moving. And this week we definitely saw that. And for me on Monday night, it was a lot of ways in which God spoke and God moved. And I was a female staff person. So basically what that meant is that like all the counselors, I just made sure that the counselors, I oversaw all the female counselors, which was pretty much the best job I could have ever had because the female counselors were incredible. And I was so impressed. I just can't even get over how impressed I was. But so Monday night at camp, actually when Peter Kintz, when I saw you hugging Dan Benson, I just started crying my face off. Like, and I cry a lot. You guys know it. It's, you know, it happens. I'm Diane Vaughn's my mom. I cry a lot. But it was like, you know, as a staff person, we go to camp and we're so focused. We're like, okay, we need to make sure this is happening and this is happening and that is happening and this is happening and the kids have to be at their games on time and we better make sure the meal is there and, oh man, we better make sure this kid takes his meds at the right time and, oh, this parent is coming to pick up this kid because they have a gymnastic meet or whatever it is. Where our brains are going in 970 different directions trying to make sure that the logistics of the week happen. And I very rarely, like, when I'm serving in that aspect, it's hard for me to enter into personal worship. You know, it's hard for me to focus on, like, what God is trying to do in my heart because I'm just trying to make sure everybody else's stuff is good, you know? And when Peter and Mr. Benson were hugging, it was just, like, God was really moving in Peter's heart. Like, dude, the kid did a freaking 180 from, like, Monday to Tuesday. He was, like, a totally different person, and I mean that in an awesome way. And, like, it was so encouraging. And like, but the thing is, I saw that every single night. I saw kids changing, like, person A to person B, like, overnight. It was insane. And, like, so when they were hugging, I was just, like, bawling. And God was just like, yeah, I'm here to get hearts. I'm here to get the hearts that I fought for. And it was just hugely encouraging to me. And you guys heard about this distracting group, okay, of 7 kids. And you hear my voice. My voice is gone because, in part, of those 7 kids. And I had to use the megaphone so much this week to try to get everyone's attention when we would have them go here or there or do this or that, you know, because it's a pretty big camp. We're moving them around. And my voice is just getting worn out. And I was just, by Wednesday, I was really fed up with those kids, this distracting group that we had. And I was just like,
one more stunt, especially from one of these boys. I was like, one more stunt, and I'm going to talk to Justice about sending this kid home because I don't know if I can handle this. And I don't remember who said something, but I feel like it was Amy Wilson. You said something in our Wednesday morning counselor meeting, and God just really convicted me about loving those kids. And in Matthew 22, when Jesus gives the great commandment, 22 verse 34 says, "But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. 'Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law?' And he said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.'" And I think what God said to me that morning was like, "Hey, Hannah, that's really cool that you're making sure that these kids have lunch, but you're not loving them." And I was just, like, super broken, and I was super convicted. And I was like, "All right, Jesus, like, help me love these kids. Help me love these kids. Help me love these kids." So from that point on, I was sitting with them in meals, sitting with them during the message, like, just learning who they were, spending time with them. And I don't know if I've ever been so burdened for anyone in my whole life. One of the girls in that group, I've never interceded like I interceded on Friday night ever in my entire life. I've never done battle like that. It literally felt like I'd physically done battle for 3 hours. I was on my face on the ground for 3 hours praying for this girl. And when I stood up, she was on her face, and she was worshiping God. And there were, like, 10 people around her just, like, praying over her. And it was incredible. And just to echo what everyone else said, you know, prayer works. It's real because God is real, and God is moving. And we get too easily discouraged because we're not looking at the right things. We're not seeing what God is doing, and we're not letting him move. But I was convicted that love was not the primary thing in my life, and that there were other things that were seeming more important when Jesus says that on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. If our prayer is not motivated by love for God and love for people, then it's not coming from the right place. If our service is not motivated by love for God and love for the church and love for the lost, it's not coming from the right place. If my words are not motivated by love for God and love for people and love for the church, it's not coming from the right place. Everything that Jesus did was motivated by that love for the Father and that love for his disciples. And I was so convicted of it, and it was so sweet towards the end of the week to just be like, "Man, Jesus, you filled me with your love." Like, it was completely his love, because I knew that at the beginning of the week I was incapable of loving some of those kids. Yeah. And so it was just, that was really cool to be filled with the Lord's love for them. And I know that everyone has said this, but parents, some of you parents, your counselor aged kids like Faith and Amy and Sarah and the Inman girls and Chelsea Fister and Allie and like Spencer and like all of these and Stoney Tyler. Oh my gosh, Stoney Tyler was incredible. I couldn't stop. I couldn't shut up about him after camp. Justice and I were like, "Stoney Tyler, Stoney Tyler, Stoney Tyler, Stoney Tyler did amazing. Stoney Tyler was incredible." I just need to say, you don't understand. These counselors poured out on these kids like I've never seen counselors pour out on their kids. I mean, they gave everything. And Micah's not kidding when he says we run on like negative 5 hours of sleep a night. Seriously. Like, I think one night I was cleaning the bathroom. It's like 3 a.m. I don't know. And like these counselors did an amazing job. And what I'm excited about is seeing them continue this discipleship relationship with their campers and seeing them continue to live this lifestyle of love for the church and love for the lost and continue to pour out. And I'm excited about that in my life, because it's like this entire week to just practice discipleship ministry just the way Jesus did it. And now we just get to carry that out. So it was awesome, and all the glory goes to God, and he was awesome. So, yeah. Amen.